This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Flunkies and junkies, welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special, brought to you exclusively here on the PTB Wrestling Network, the fans feed. This is the most listened to and the most beloved NWA-centric podcast all over the world. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. Joining me, as always, on this March evening, or morning, I guess, when you're listening. The doctor. Dr. G. George Bolino.
Well.
Doctor.
Well.
No one getting doctor.
Well, where are you getting all this?
Tell
stuff
him, Hawk. Like? Tell him,
the
Hawk.
The pleasure is all yours, as usual.
Doctor, we are 1 week past the Crockett Cup, which was an exceptional weekend. We thank everyone for all your participation, particularly on the two nights of Place to Be Nation Twitch feeds. We got a ton of listens and likes on our Place to Be Nation YouTube page. Thank you very much. It was fantastic. We had a lot of fun. Nice job by Sean and Callum and Ben Locke, who joined the guys on Saturday night.
Yes,
night
very one. Good. I listened to some of it. It was very good. They did a great job.
I did. I listened to all of it. And then you and I and Sean and Callum on Sunday night for the big finish. We apologize for not having a reaction show on Monday morning, but Skype gave me the old double ups, to quote Dr. G's favorite wrestler of all time. We got the fucking double ups. So, yeah, that kind of
sucked. We did a good show, too.
We did. I was very pleased. And it was pretty awesome, but unfortunately...
But we did a show for ourselves. How about that?
We did a show. We talked to ourselves, which we do a lot of anyway. Anyway, but we're here tonight, and we're going to have a really great show.
This morning.
I keep saying tonight. Well, everyone knows when we record. This morning, if you're listening.
Don't confuse the people, because you know what? They're getting their coffee. The caffeine hasn't totally kicked in yet. We help them kick it into gear with
yes,
the show,
that is true.
But yeah, we
that's very
sometimes
true.
Sometimes I could use coffee when we're recording this at night. Trust me.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I've had my two cups today though, but I do have kind of a headache. But you know what's going to cure it? The NWA, because that cures everything. And of course, this past Tuesday was the first episode of Power the night after, which was taped. In the new, I guess they taped it in a studio somewhere in Nashville. Where do they officially tape it? Does it say? Usually they say Skyway Studios. Oh, you know where they taped? Doctor, they and we talked about on the Twitch feed, they taped where Impact tapes.
Oh, that's right. That's what
Skyway Studios in Nashville. So pretty cool. So there you go. And we will talk about that. And then... because we didn't forget, we will go back to my GWWE ballot because, Doctor, we're actually getting to some fun guys. So we'll do 10 guys tonight. It's been a few weeks since we've done it. What we're talking about, of course, is this year's well, we'll talk about it later in the show. All right. Why don't we hop in and go to the Power Show. Special thanks, as always, to my good friend Josh Lopez for helping me with my notes. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. No Austin Idol this week, Doctor. Tim Storm was back in the center chair with Velvet Sky and, of course, Joe Galli. And who walks out immediately? But the still world heavyweight champion, Matt Cardona, who came out with his little crew there. Mike Knox, VSK, and himself.
Things are heating up with this feud, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. And of course, with all the shenanigans that went on involving Jeff Jarrett, he called him slap nuts. Yeah. Good promo, by the way, too. You can check it out on YouTube, because the episode of Power just dropped on YouTube last night. But he, you know, he says he got it done regardless. Tim Storm got involved, put his hands on me. He says Mickey James put his hands on my wife. Doug and Harry got involved, put their hands on my boys, and even Mr. Slapnut. And still NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. Always ready. Pretty soon, everybody, you, Velvet, Billy Corgan, all of you are going to thank us, the Cardonas, because they are the saviors of this, quote, goddamn company. I think, actually, Doctor, Matt Cardona retaining the title, I think, is going to make things a lot better over the next couple of months in the NWA.
You know, I didn't feel that all this was going to win it this fast. I think I predicted, you know, not that I any major wasn't that hard to do, that he would become champion again,
right?
Eventually, but too soon. I think you have to have a nice feud here, and I think this is really heating up to be a nice feud, and you're going to have some news about this feud, and you're going to be lucky enough to actually be in the middle of it and see it.
I will. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Summon a butch. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Yeah. So they crossed one thing. You know, just as much as AEW worked with Impact, NWA and Impact are having a little fun. A little fun as well right now. So our first match of the night made me very happy. Because it was an all ROH match. Our current ROH tag team champions and the 2022 Crockett Cup champions, the Briscoes, taking on the OGK. So a nice pure ROH match going on here. And does this really kind of, you know, qualify or justify the fact, Doctor, that the Briscoes are probably going to be hanging around?
I don't know if they're going to be maybe in this season of Power, because they obviously had them for tapings, but I don't see them long range, but I think you'll see them come in and out, which is nice. I love watching this with the companies working with each other. I really do. I like seeing, you know, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor. Well, now Ring of Honor is owned by AEW. Technically, but I like that the sharing of talent. Billy needs this. He can't keep too many people on his regular roster. He doesn't have a regular touring schedule. So
no, he doesn't. No, you're right. Yep.
So no, this is great. I mean, I was happy to see them right away, because I was wondering, after winning the Crockett Cup, I think you needed to have them at least show face for a little while.
Yeah,
to make the Crockett Cup mean something, and also. For the fact that, you know, since it wasn't a team outside the NWA, that you know the NWA fans will still get to see them, and it's not just they came in to win the cup and then they're leaving.
Right, exactly. And this was actually a pretty awesome match. In the climax, Mark Briscoe puts Bennett on the top turnbuckle. Mark uppercuts Bennett. Mark with the Iconoclasm for two. Mark continues to uppercut Bennett. He tags in his brother Jay. Bennett denies the Jay Driller. Bennett tags in Taven. Taven with a stinger splash, then a spinning heel kick to Jay, then a step up and Seguri, followed by a spin kick to the back of his head. But then Jay reverses out of the Irish whip from Taven. Taven does hit a swinging fisherman's neck breaker. Big moves here at the end. Death Valley driver, shining wizard combination for two. Then a chop exchange, then a forearm exchange. Then Jay negates the climax, and then Jay connects with the Oklahoma roll and picks up the win. So a fun little win, a fun little match. The Briscoes get the victory. A lot of fun, actually. And
yeah, I mean, I really like watching the Briscoes work, and this was just a good tag team match, especially for television and for opening the show. A nice hot match to get things rolling on the the new season of Power. Trying to say it like you. It doesn't sound as good. I'll give you credit for something at least.
Why don't you go have some coffee? Why don't you go have some popcorn?
I'm a little feisty tonight, aren't I?
Yeah, do we want some official Saturday special popcorn with a butter shot? And not like butter shot like the liquor, but
we
an
need
actual
to have
pot of
our
butter.
our own coffee. Saturday special coffee.
Should we call it Junkies and the Junkie and Flunky? The Flunky and Junkie.
Well, we could have different brand, but first we just start off with the Saturday special.
Right.
Coffee.
Saturday
we need to
special
find
blend.
Somebody. We need to
the
find
Saturday
somebody.
Special blend. Yeah, like maybe Black Rifle, maybe. The Saturday special like blend.
So if you're listening out there and you own a coffee company,
how about
we'll make a little deal here with the new Saturday special.
Put our faces on the bag. That'll sell about 3 bags. We're gonna have the chow.
Well, definitely 2 because we'll buy one each.
Exactly. Yeah. And your wife will buy a pity bag. So, all right. Jeff Jarrett came out. Talked about his NWA lineage to Kyle. The last thing he wanted to do was taint the integrity of the NWA at the Crockett Cup. But the first thing he saw after receiving the low blow was Mickey James. So that's why he made the decision he made. And we've seen that many times. WWE's done it. WCW's done it. That's a trope that's been
again, wrestling repeats itself. It's just a matter of how it's pulled off and with the participants. But
yep.
I mean, most storylines are not, brand new. Guys, let's get real about that. You can't bitch and complain about it. It happens all the time. It's just a matter of how it's executed. This was executed pretty well. I mean,
Yeah, I agree. Mae Valentine talked to our world tag team champions La Rebellion, who said they are not running away from competition and they are still the champs. Of course, they lost in the semifinals of the tournament to the Commonwealth Connection of Doug Williams and David Smith.
I have to be honest with you, I thought they were going to be in there at the end, but they weren't.
But I will say this, Doctor. Remember, the Commonwealth Connection can say that they have a pinfall victory over the champs. And I think that's the champs' first, like, legit loss since they won the belts. So, and they've been in the NWA. So, there we go. Don't forget fanduebelts.com/NWA. Get your 10 pounds of gold. You can get the original like I have, or you can get the,
getting a little vig on this.
I know, right? I am. I'm just very good at
new belts. Come on, you're listening. I know you're listening out there. Sell a few belts after the Podfather says this. We should throw a few dollars over here. Why not?
Yeah, I concur.
You know what I'm saying?
FanDuBelts.com/NWA. You can get the original that everybody owns, or you can get the updated one that has the UK plate. So check that out. Nick Aldis and Mickey James come out. They tell Kyle Davis that they have unfinished business with the Cardonas, and we will talk more about that unfinished business later on. Then, and I actually dig this. This is badass. This is very old school. Out comes Tyrus, our NWA World Television Champion, who successfully defended his title at the Crockett Cup over Rodney Mack. We knew that was coming. He has announced, Doctor, a body slam challenge.
Old school going on here.
The next person who could body slam Tyrus will get a future world television title. And I'm telling you, Doctor, this is the opening for Mims. Telling you, this is the opening for Mims. Just saying.
Could be. I heard you're going to try it.
I might.
You think you could get him up?
Maybe. You know, if we get our coffee in pods, we can call them the Coffee Pods Father. Anyway, so.
We're really stuck on this coffee thing.
We are stuck on this coffee. Yeah. Jax Dane comes out. Of course, Jax Dane is our new, at least one thing I'll say, Doctor, they, everybody came out. You know, it did, this episode did seem very fresh. They did, yeah, everybody was, came out. At least got on camera, you know what I'm saying?
It was pretty decent, you know, like we used to look forward to the Raws after, you know, big pay-per-views, especially in the Attitude Era. I mean, I wouldn't say this is the hottest show we've seen, but it was better than I expected it to be, so.
Right. Jax Dane, of course, is our new national heavyweight champion. He's won it again. He beat Anthony Mayweather at the Crockett Cup, although for those that didn't watch, Anthony Mayweather actually beat him, but then Mayweather's knee was badly injured. And Jax Dane cashed in his shot that he got from winning the team challenge.
He has no regrets.
Nope, and he has no regrets. And he stepped on his knee a few times, got the pin, and won the title. So Jax Dane is once again your national heavyweight champion. He won it back in the early 2010s, I think. Out came Tom Latimer and Camille, our world women's champion, who retained her title in a great match against Chelsea Green and Kylie Rae. At the Crockett Cup. That was a fun women's championship match.
It was.
So, and Tom Latimer says that Strictly Business is no more. The only person he needs is his beloved Camille. So they kicked out Chris Adonis, and that's fine with me. And Strictly Business was really Nick's thing. You know what I mean?
It was, and I'm assuming that that Chris Adonis is gone from the NWA. I haven't seen anything online, but
no, I haven't either, but yeah, I'm assuming he left. I agree with you. And, I have a feeling we're going to get a storyline where Camille's going to be like, you know, like carrying the load and Tom Latimer is going to get his balls broken that he's the, you know, he's the first lady and he's going to get his, he's the loser of the bunch and Camille's carrying his ass and, we could see that happening. I could definitely see that.
No, there's something. Camille is going to be a face. There's no doubt about it.
I agree.
But they let the storyline marinate a little bit.
Yep. Our next match. This is interesting. Trevor Murdoch, who kind of cut a little bit of a scathing half-heelish promo at the Crockett Cup, takes on Brett Buffshay, who was obviously an enhancement talent. Murdoch starts things off with a big boot, punches Buffshay in the back, then a knife-edge chop, then he whips him into the turnbuckles. Murdoch with a right hand, then whips Buffshay across the ring. Buffshay kicks Murdoch in the chest. Murdoch clotheslines him, then kicks him in the face. Buffshay hits him with a back elbow smash, but then Murdoch yanks Buffshay off the top turnbuckle and hits a pile driver for the win. So a little squash action for Trevor Murdoch on this episode.
Yeah, he worked a little heel here.
Worked a little stiff here. Yep, he did. Frustrated. Next up, we had a title match.
Better heel, I think. I think he'd be a better heel, actually.
Well, I always loved him when him and Cade were heels in the 2000s in WWF. Our third match of the night is a title match. The World Women's Tag Team titles are on the line. The Hex, who successfully defended their belts at the Crockett Cup, taking on, once again, the team of Genocide and Paola Blaze. And if they lose, they must break up as a team.
I love these stipulations.
Yep. I think we know where this is going if you're going to waste time putting that stip up. In the end, Genocide hits Bell in the corner, then clubs body shots. Genocide puts Bell on the top turnbuckle. She slaps Bell in the chest, then puts her on her shoulders. Blaze tags herself in. Genocide hits the TKO. Genocide goes for the cover, but forgot she wasn't the legal competitor. And then Marty Bell cradles up Paola Blaze and picks up the win. So the Hex are still World Women's Tag Team Champions. And I think, Doctor, we are seeing the end of this team, and I think we're going to begin to see the rise of my beloved Genocide as a powerhouse. And maybe if Camille starts turning face, Genocide will be the heel. What do you think? Something to think about?
Yeah. You have to start getting some of the talent that's not used as much into the mix here. And Genocide, mm-hmm. I think, I definitely could see Genocide and Camille having a feud down the road, with Genocide being the heel.
Oh, absolutely. Because Genocide is the only other one in that company that's as big as Camille. Like, Natalia Markova is you know, she's kind of stocky, but not tall-wise and, like, big-wise like Genocide and Camille. But yes, I think down the line we will see a Camille-Genocide feud for that women's championship. Our main event is our last title match, the brand new Doctor World Junior Heavyweight Champion.
That none of us picked.
And that is, of course, Homicide, who won the four-way at the Crockett Cup, taking on one of the guys that lost in that four-way match, Austin Aries. This was a great match. And I know the reason the juniors are going to be prominently displayed on the weekend show and WA USA, which, of course, a brand new episode will, depending when you're listening to this on Saturday, is about to hit YouTube or is already on YouTube. So check that out. This was a great match. Homicide, I think, well, let's give everybody the climax. Aries goes with a rolling elbow for two. Then he plies the last chancery. Homicide refuses to tap. Aries sends Homicide to the ring apron. Aries kicks him in the chest. Homicide denies the Death Valley driver. Aries with a shoulder block, then a neck snap on the top rope. Aries follows that with the corner drop kick. Aries then drills Homicide with a brain buster for two. I thought that was going to be the finisher there. Aries gets crotched on the top turnbuckle, and then Homicide hits the Avalanche Koji Cutter and picks up the win. So Homicide retains the junior heavyweight title in a great match.
I tell you, Austin Aries, you know, he's more of the name in the tournament, you know, I expected him to win. I mean, it's nice, you know, he's actually putting others over. And again, that was a surprise. I mean, I don't think Homicide deserved that. I just didn't think they were going to put the belt on him, but
I didn't either.
But it's a nice direction they're going.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think that's why I think they started the the NWA USA show, because I think they really wanted to give the juniors their stage without them getting kind of cobbled up in the, you know, the rest of the stuff they got to do on Power. So
yeah, I think you're gonna see that division really you know, grow, and you're going to see some great storylines over on NWA USA.
Yeah.
I will say this, you know, with Tim Storm being back, and I do like Tim Storm, don't get me wrong. I just like having that heel in the seat, though. The third man.
You can't have three baby faces. I definitely missed Austin Idol in that seat. I really did. But that'll do it for this week's episode of Power. I thought it was good. They definitely, obviously, you know, they acknowledged all of the, you know, everything that happened at the Crockett Cup. I'm glad we opened with Cardona. I think that was key. And
you kind of advanced, you know, moved on, you know, started creating the storylines. Mm-hmm. I thought actually pretty much every match. I mean, obviously there was the squash match, which again, setting up a storyline. Trevor Murdoch, where was he? What is he going to do? So I thought all the matches were good. I thought they really are starting to get the storylines going, and I'm glad that they actually aired. You know, they didn't like do that whole, you know, give a week in between that. They went right from the Crockett Cup right into the storylines based on what happened at the Crockett Cup. They did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Not the best show. I'm saying it's the best, but
it was good. Not every show has to be five stars. So long as all I was looking for, honestly, was just, you know, like the first show out of NWA 73 was terrible. The first power out of Hard Times, Hard Times 2, was solid. This was actually very good.
And you start setting up with the storyline. So we know that it's going to be Aldous and Cardona are going to be the main thing. You're going to see, again, Tyrus is going to do his thing. You know, now we're going to get, you know, to this, what is it, the seven times that he defends the belt.
Yep.
You're going to see. You're going to see. You saw something with the junior heavyweight championship. You know, like that's going to get set off to go for the NWA USA. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're establishing your champion, Trevor Murdoch. You're going to start establishing probably a heel turn. I guess you're starting to see with Genocide. You're going to start seeing her kind of branch out on her own. And the whole Camille Tom Latimer thing, that's going to be the interesting one to see how they play that out. I kind of like what you said. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's going to be that she's carrying the load and, you know, it's going to cause some issues there. So I definitely think, and we saw the Briscoes, you know, and the Briscoes, at least, I mean, I don't know where they're going to fit in the NWA, if they're going to stay, but at least we're going to see them. And they were there after winning the Crockett Cup. They didn't just like, okay, the Briscoes won the Crockett Cup, let's move on. They mm-hmm. actually had him wrestle in a match, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about crossovers, there is a huge crossover going on 1 week. Well, not 1 week from tonight, but this coming Friday, April 1st, from the Fairmont Hotel in Dallas, Texas. It's called the Multiverse of Matches. It's actually part of WrestleCon, but it's produced by Impact. And 9 matches, and one of the ones that you were referring to, Doctor, is a tag match that has been announced. Nick Aldis and Mickey James will take on Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. So, no, WWE is not the only promotion that could do married couple matches. So, I am enjoying these. This card looks pretty great. The Good Brothers will take the Briscoes are in this match. They're taking on the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson. Trey Miguel will defend the X Division title against Chris Bay, Jordan Grace, Rich Swann, Vincent, and Willie Mack in a intergender Ultimate X match. Jordan Grace is huge. Eddie Edwards will take on Tomohiro Ishii, Chris Sabin against Jay White. Deonna Purrazzo, that's of course Sean's and my girl, the ROH Women's World title. And the AAA Reina de Reinas Championship. She'll be facing somebody for either of those belts. Josh Alexander and Jonah will take on Moose and PCO. Alex Shelley will face Speedball Mike Bailey. And I don't know if this is the main event, but the Influence, the team of Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood, will take on Tasha Steeles. There you go, another NWA alum. And Savannah Evans, also against Giselle Shaw. And Lady Frost, another NWA alum, versus DK, which is Havoc and Rosemary. A four-way tag match, one of your favorite kinds of matches, for the Impact Knockouts World Tag Team Championships. So that card will be taking place Friday night at the April 1st, this coming Friday, at the Fairmont Hotel in Dallas, Texas. And I will be there. Actually, I'll be there with Sean Kidd and a few other people. Actually, I think
you'll have to bring back a nice report.
Yes, I shall. Maybe we'll go live. Maybe Sean and I will go live. We'll do it live. I believe who else is joining us? Lewis Maynard, I think, is joining us. I think Logan, my mud pie, I think he's joining us. Be fun. Be a good time. But Doctor, I guarantee you, sir, and I said this to you earlier today or earlier yesterday. I guarantee at some point this calendar year, we are going to have a big show in our neck of the woods. I don't know about the next pay-per-view. If the NWA's next pay-per-view is June, I don't know if that one will be close, but I have a weird sinking feeling that NWA 74 at the end of August will be in Philly.
I got a feeling. Why don't you tag them? Tweet it out and tag them.
I think I might.
Although he did that with William Regal and still didn't show up. So.
Still didn't show up. And that didn't happen. So maybe I need to have my own coffee. Maybe we need to have our own coffee first.
Maybe.
Anyway.
We can't call it the NWA Saturday Special.
No.
It has to just be the Saturday Special.
Card. Well, I don't know. Maybe Billy will let us copyright it and we can.
How about PTP, Place to Be Wrestling.
Network. Place to Be Wrestling Coffee, the network coffee. Coffee.
Saturday Special Coffee.
I think we should get the NWA to copyright it. Or we could just put the end. What are they going to get us? The copyright cops? There's no such thing.
No.
Have you ever heard of a copyright cop? I haven't.
No.
Anyway. So there you go. There's your episode of Power. And yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of good things coming up in the NWA in the next in the coming weeks as we head into the spring and early summer for the next. And now there hasn't been any announcement of the next NWA pay-per-view.
I think it's gonna be June.
No, we're guessing that it's gonna be June like it was last year.
Little birthday action for you, maybe.
It was. I mean, last year it was the day after my birthday, so very excited about that. All right. So as everyone knows, over the past several episodes, we didn't do last week because of, you know, we were previewing the Crockett Cup, but Dr. G has been kind of helping me with my greatest WWE wrestler ever ballot from 5 years ago. I've been reading in my ballot from 100. We're up to 41 now. And he's been helping me by saying whether they should be, they should be higher, lower,
stay the same,
off altogether, stay the same. So he's done a very nice job. But now we're getting to the cream of the crop, as Randy Savage would say.
Yeah, I'll tell you something right now. I don't know. This is getting tough, huh?
Yep, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not alive.
Who's going to be number one in it?
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Randy Savage was number one on our composite list 5 years ago. We'll see if that changes. All right, Doctor. Tonight,
knock me off the top. I don't think there is anybody,
Maybe we should get Macho. Maybe we should get something like Macho Brew or something.
Oh my Macho gosh. Brew?
How about the Macho Brew? What do you think?
We're not even drinking. That's the sad part.
No. all right, so I'm about to fire 10 wrestlers at you, and on my ballot, they were numbers 40 to 31, so probably 10 good wrestlers. All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, because number 41, the last one we did a few weeks ago was Roman Reigns, and of course, he's not going to be 41 this time around. All right, 40, the Iron Sheik.
Ooh. I I'm fine with him there.
Yeah. I break your back. Fuck your wife. Be Brian Blair. Bitch. Go fuck yourself.
I love his Mondays.
Fuck the Mondays. I love his tweets.
They are the best.
Usually like, and the winner for best, and the Oscar winner for best picture is go fuck yourself. That's my favorite one. Number 39. Current AEW wrestler. William Regal.
That's a tough one.
What's that?
Nice little run, but I mean, you want to take an account for what he's done behind the camera and everything. Yes, I mean, he's done a lot.
This is just wrestling.
I'm gonna have to say a little lower.
Oh, okay. Okay. 38. This is an interesting one. Randy Orton.
Oh, you got to have him higher.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Randy Orton. Let me tell you something about Randy Orton. If you talk to, I know Ric Flair is one of them. A lot of the, old school wrestlers, the Hall of Famers, a lot of them name Randy Orton as one of the best. I mean, they feel like he is the ultimate heel, He's a great heel that he's a great technician, mm-hmm. and he's able to roll with the punches all these years in the WWE.
Hmm. Okay. I agree. I concur. 37. Rick Martel.
WWE, I mean, I know he was in there too in the early. No, I got to put him lower. I'm sorry. Okay. I mean, he had a nice run there in the 80s, you know.
Former tag team champion.
But, a little lower.
Okay. Number 36. The British Bulldog. Davey Boy Smith.
Ooh. I'm okay with him right there.
Okay.
I mean, that match at Wembley with Brett is one of them. It was a great match.
And it's that, I consider, well, I consider his their rematch at In Your House 5 even better. That's how
you like to always go against the grain, so I'm not shocked.
I do. Well, British Bulldog was a better wrestler by that point, so. All right, 35, Jeff Hardy. I know you have strong feels on Jeff Hardy.
Listen, he's not, he's not one of my favorites, but I believe it or not, I have to say you have to go a little higher with him.
Okay. Interesting.
Not much higher, but a little higher.
Okay. 34. Christian.
You know, as a guy that just totally never got his due. And, you know, before Edge made it big, I thought actually he was the better one, you know, in terms of like when he was a heel and his turn and everything. But Vince never really hooked on with him. I think Christian could have been just as big as Edge in the WWE had he been given the opportunity. So I he's fine there. I like him where he's at.
Okay. 33. Tito Santana.
You gotta love Tito. Tito, let me tell you something. Tito had a nice run there in the 80s. And,
yeah, he did. He was one of Vince's guys.
Some people over towards the end, which was good. But, you know, he had a nice run. So, I you know what? Because there's just so many. I'm happy where he's at. That's fine.
Okay. Of course, former Intercontinental Champion. Back when it was the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And, of course, former Tag Team Champion in Strikeforce. Girls in Cars. Number 32. Batista. I know what you're going to tell me. You think Randy Orton should be higher than Batista.
Oh, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I don't know how anybody could argue about Randy Orton. I know that sometimes because he's just so consistent and he's just good. I mean, whether you like him personally, whatever that, he really is. There's really nothing bad about him. He does great interviews. For lack of a better word, he's the total package right there.
Yeah. Don't let Drew Wardlaw tell you say that. but what about Batista?
Well, I want Randy Orton to be much higher than he is, so I'm fine with him there, I guess.
Okay. Listen, obviously, where JR and I are in the Place to Be podcast, we're in late 07. 2007 Orton was so good. He was such an asshole. He was amazing. He beat the shit out of Flair. He punted Shawn Michaels on vacation. And then he was handed the world title after Cena got hurt. I mean, he was just so good.
His first title run, he was young and
stupid.
You know, wasn't really ready for it then. And he's mentioned that. And if anybody gets a chance, go watch his interview on the Stone Cold
Broken Skull Sessions.
Broken Skull Sessions.
Also,
I like coffee.
Also, check out the Evolution episode of the Ruthless Aggression series on the network or Peacock. Mm-hmm. Because they talk about the same thing, how he just wasn't ready. And then he ate his plates of shit for a couple of years.
I'll tell you the truth. Batista, I mean, some people could argue he could go a little higher, but I'm kind of okay where he's at.
Okay. And our last name of the night at number 31. You mentioned him a few minutes ago. Edge.
Edge, you got to go higher. You got to go a little higher than that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. So there you go. There's 40 to 31. I look at 30 to 21 and oh my.
Talk about somebody with Edge. I interviewed him at Street Fest in New Haven back in 1998. Yep. And it was him and it was Steve Blackman. I know you. Everybody would have a shot. Steve Blackman was the better of the two, believe it or not.
Mm.
He was actually pretty cool to interview, which you wouldn't have thought of. Edge was just really not that good at that time. You know, he didn't seem comfortable. He wasn't into it. Now it could have been just, you know, these guys are tired and they got to come out and do these things. I get it, but I was not impressed at all. But boy, has he turned it around. He's phenomenal. I mean,
he really is
phenomenal now. So it's just nice to see, where he's come. But yeah, he's really, you know, he really had a nice run there.
He did. No, he absolutely did. His run right now in 07, again, we're
07, 08.
Yeah.
Maybe really 07 till maybe what, like 2010, 2011? He was.
Well, he retired. He retired the week after WrestleMania 27, which was 2011.
Okay.
So those last like 5 years, 2000. And then remember, he was hurt at the end of 09 because he was hurt at the end of 09.
You know, I get so that period of time, so much happened in the company that my timeline sometimes gets so mixed up because really a lot happened at that time. You know, and you're going back and watching a lot of it now, and it's...
Yeah, it's been great.
I mean, it's actually 07. Better than really what it gets credit for, because, you know, again, anything immediately after the Attitude Era, it just seemed like, you know, because the excitement wasn't there anymore, it doesn't mean that the stuff that came after wasn't good. It was just that at the time, people weren't totally feeling it, but when you go back and watch it, you're like, wow, this stuff's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, no, yeah, I think Edge has to be higher. Sorry.
Okay. I think that 2007 was kind of an odd year. Of course, all the Benoit stuff went down. But JR and I have kind of surmised that as we got into the fall of 07, the Benoit stuff happened in June. It definitely seemed like...
Was it 07?
Yeah, June of 07 is when the whole Benoit thing went down. And I feel like after a couple months of kind of... having to, you know, rejigger things around.
See, that's why I said I get my timelines. For some reason, I thought that was 09, but wow.
No, it was 07. And I feel like by the fall, WWF kind of fell back into place. But anyway, check out the episode, the most recent episodes of the Place B podcast.
Yeah. To advertise your shows. Don't talk about it here.
Well, that's what our feed's for. That's what we advertise. You want to sit here till 5? I could talk about 2007 pay-per-views if you want, since you seem all jazzed up. Would you would you chew on coffee? Would you have some iced coffee jelly beans?
Just I don't want to try those.
Pound about 50 of those. One more thing.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine you taking it? We'll never get you to shut up.
One more thing I want to talk about.
Before we
wrap up for the week, of
you
course,
sound very
the news,
serious. You're making me nervous.
The news that came out yesterday. No, it is serious. I'm not doing me, but of course, the news that came out yesterday via Stephen A. Smith that Triple H has officially retired from in-ring competition. He will never wrestle again, and he went into what happened.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I knew it was something major, but I thought it was like maybe some hereditary thing or whatever, but I didn't realize how bad this was.
It came from pneumonia. He had fluid in his lungs. He had fluid in his heart.
Thank God that they caught it when he had pneumonia. They said, you know, to do an EKG. Otherwise, he would have never even known. I don't know if that's what caused the pneumonia.
To be honest, that's probably what happened. Not to break the fourth wall, but I bet you that's what happened with our friend Keith. I bet you he was misdiagnosed because he kind of passed away the same way.
Yep.
We had a friend.
I mean, this went quick. I mean, they were saying, you know,
his heart was pumping. The percentage of the percentage of blood coming out of his heart was dropping and dropping and dropping.
Yeah,
and dropping.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, and we joked around like, oh, maybe he's being, you know, blackballed in the company and stuff, but maybe truly he had to take a break for his health and, you know, deal with that aspect of it. So obviously then, you know, once he took a back seat, they did make some changes and stuff like that. But wow, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, we probably thought after what happened he wasn't going to wrestle, but now it became official. So I'm sure as a fan, especially you being such a big fan of his, that probably hit you a little bit. But
it did. But I mean, it's obviously it's to the point where, you know, he would have only wrestled once a year anyway.
Right.
Technically, his last match was in Saudi Arabia against, as you mentioned, Randy Orton. But right. I can be honored. I could be happy to say that his last domestic match I was at. And that was 3 years ago at WrestleMania 35 when he beat Batista in the street fight at MetLife.
That's big for me. He had a great career, and hopefully, you know, he'll be able to contribute now behind the scenes once he's feeling better and, you know, getting back on. I mean, I think he's doing some stuff behind the scenes, but hopefully,
yeah,
you know, he'll still contribute and.
We'll see what happens.
You know, it doesn't mean he can't still do his thing on the microphone, you know, kind of, you know, look at Stone Cold, you know, Stone Cold's made a good career out of it since he's left.
Yeah.
Just doing this stuff on the mic. So, obviously, wish him well. And I guess we should probably, did we even talk about Scott Hall last week? I don't remember.
We didn't, I mean, who knows? It might have got lost in the ether with the other 600 shows that Skype ate. But it's sad because Scott Hall, you know, his death probably wasn't even caused by what everyone thought he was going to die of. Apparently it was COVID related, but he also was dealing with hip issues and such. He's the guy that fired the first shot on that May 1996 episode of Nitro when he walked through the crowd. And he fired the first shot. Scott Hall can be proud his legacy. He probably the Monday Night War.
He did, and the thing is that and that Razor Ramon character is probably one of the best that the WWE actually ever created. But
Oye, me, chico.
I have to say though. The love he was getting around the, you know, because, you know, Scott Hall could be a little moody. He could be a little sarcastic at times and stuff like that. But they said that he just was nothing but great behind the scenes, you know, like when he was on, you know, always trying to help someone and just his legacy of, he really knew the business. And he made 1-2-3 Kid. I mean, if you think about that, look at you. Remember back what he did. I mean, Sean Waltman probably wouldn't have had the career he had if it wasn't for Scott Hall.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yep. And so he has a legacy, and it was nice to see him be remembered. Listen, and a lot of people say, listen, he was far from perfect, and we know that. You know, nobody's going to make him a saint or anything like that. But
none of them are.
But everybody, he's human. You know?
Yeah, and none of them are perfect.
He did some great things in the business, and if you're remembering him that way, I mean, just you know, another life in the business taken too early, especially a good mind in the business. But wow, you know, you just got to go back and watch his stuff. You know, kind of makes you want to see some of his stuff because he really was good. Starting out as Big Scott Hall to, you know, where he wound up, it's amazing. And to be totally in the thick of things. I mean, I do not think that the whole Monday Night War thing and the NWA thing would have been as good if it wasn't for Scott Hall.
I agree. As a matter of fact,
Scott Hall made Hulk Hogan cool. Think about it. Because Hulk Hogan was getting stale. Yep. I mean, they had a pump in crowd noise in WCW, and then when they convinced him to do it, but you needed to have Scott Hall and even Kevin Nash, the cool guys, to kind of make Hulk Hogan be cool.
Yep. He's also probably one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. He won it 5 times.
Yeah, and he's probably one of the greatest to not be world champion.
Speaking of that, though, funny you bring that up, Doctor, because I was talking with my good friend and the Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Dave Hall, and I think I have a feeling that April's episode of Through the Looking Glass may have something to do with the bad guy. So stay tuned in the month of April for the next episode of Through the Looking Glass, because I have a feeling we're going to be talking about Quien es más macho. So that'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather and follow the Doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. But most particularly, follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. I haven't done a poll in a few weeks. I'll have to think about that. Doctor, I think it's your turn. You need to come up with a poll question for the Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. We had a great week. We had a great week of shows. This past Monday, new episode of the Place to Be podcast. JR and I with Rocco Martone did Cyber Sunday 2007. You got to listen to that. I mentioned to you, Doctor, you got to listen to that episode and hear Rocco Martone's voice. I'm telling you, the guy could have worked for NEW in the 70s. I mean, he's got the most amazing classic rock voice. He's awesome. Looking forward to having him on again. We also had a new episode of With This Ring. Ryan and Cindy are talking about, they're working on some GWWE ballot research, and this episode was on The Great One, The Rock. New episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. Yesterday, Doctor, you guys did a new episode of NWA Crock and Roll, part 2 of April 1986. So look forward to that. We'll be off next week. We're going to take off next weekend because I, of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, will be down in
Too
the Lone Star State
to hang out with me and try to do a show.
Oh my God, you're pathetic. Guilt is for pussies. I should actually make a shirt that says that. The NWA Saturday Special. Guilt is for pussies. No. You could come. You could come to everything. You're too cool for school. You like hanging out, petting your dog. Throws up on the floor, fucking eats my face. You know, you don't want to hang out with us. You want to sit in your little chair, you know.
I'll be watching. I'll have a little bourbon, little bullet, old fashioned, and I'll be watching my WrestleMania. No problem.
There you go.
I'm fine.
So, as John Tomato would say, WrestleMania live from the home of the fucking scumbags. So, you know.
Well,
you do realize that JBL's
got to be there, but that's okay.
You do realize that JBL's favorite football team is not the New York Giants, right? Just want to make sure that was all kayfabe, regardless of what you may believe. Anyway, so enjoy WrestleMania weekend, and Dr. G and I will be back in 2 weeks. Well, I gotta think, Doctor.
Enjoy looking at those Super Bowl trophies because you're not going to see one for a while. So.
Oh yeah. And Daniel Jones is going to bring you fucking glories. Seriously. You really want to go there? Really?
Yeah.
We'll
make a bet right now. Even with the Giants, even though they're still rebuilding, we will win a Super Bowl before the Dallas Cowboys will.
You're
How
a
about
jackass.
That?
You're an idiot.
How about that?
You're an idiot. Your salary cap is like $9 million over the limit.
Yeah, well.
You're lucky if Scott Bruner comes back to quarterback for you. Please. Okay.
Yeah.
Stop being a.
All right. Yeah. So.
Go drink some old fashions, will you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
We'll be back.
Look at your Super Bowl trophies. Enjoy them.
I saw your trophy.
Were we in college the last time you won?
I've been in MetLife twice.
Yeah.
We've been in MetLife twice. I've looked at your fucking trophies. The Jets side doesn't have any trophies, but the Giants side has
trophies. That organization.
I have a feeling. Speaking of MetLife, though, we were talking. We'll, I know we're getting a little weird. We're heading out in a minute. You're like, Jesus, would you shut the fuck up so I can finish my coffee?
They want some Saturday special coffee.
I do. Yeah, they want some Saturday special. They're probably wondering what the hell we're drinking. WrestleMania 39, of course, next year is at SoFi out in L.A. We were talking about where WrestleMania 40 might be.
Didn't they become their own country yet? California?
California? Maybe. Yeah.
Who cares?
keep the gas. I'm sure their gas is nice and cheap. I have a feeling WrestleMania 40, which is in 2 years, in 2024, will either be at MetLife or at down in New Orleans. And I think that year, I don't think they'll do it next year. I think they'll let it breathe a bit. I think 2024, either MetLife or in New Orleans.
You know,
I think that's where Triple H will go into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think it'll be the year after. I think it'll be the year after. Unless he wants to do like Vince does and wait till he dies. Because you know Vince isn't going to go until he's dead. So I'm just saying.
Probably not.
Vince and Jay McMahon didn't go into the Hall of Fame until 1996. At the Garden. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But hey, you know what? I hope all you guys from Place to Be Nation enjoy Dallas, enjoy WrestleMania next week. Bring me back some presents.
Well, you do realize that I almost bought you 3 years ago. When I was at the Superstore in Brooklyn, I did almost buy you the Steve Austin vest. Almost. Could you imagine, you know, your wife, you walking around with that and your wife wondering what kind of fucking whack job you've turned into. Your dog will eat it. Murphy, the NWA dog, will fucking chew on it. You're that or...
Oh, my God.
Imagine. Walk around with no shirt on. You can fucking walk out of the garage, take the fucking...
Well, I have to get the trash out.
What are you looking at, asshole?
Well, the sad thing is I wish I was drinking something, but I'm not.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
Oh, anyway, Lord.
All right.
But anyway, enjoy WrestleMania, everyone.
I will. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Enjoy all the shows. Enjoy NXT Stand and Deliver. It's going to be great. And Dr. G and I will be joining you again in 2 weeks for the next episode of the Saturday Special on April 9th. I mean, there are 5 Saturdays in April, so we might as well have take one of them off. So everybody, have fun. Enjoy WrestleMania. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. I'm Scott. He's the doctor. And you're not.
Ciao.